Welcome to your deep dive. Today we're tackling something that's, I guess, relevant whether you're running a company or a team or even just your own life. It's what happens when things go wrong. We're diving into business continuity and disaster recovery. And I gotta say, when I pulled this document 008 CRISP Domain 7 Section 11.pdf, when I saw this in the pile, I almost called for backup.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dense read, this one.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but don't worry, we've got you covered.
I think a lot of us, we hear disaster recovery and we picture hackers and exploding data centers, that kind of
It's
thing.
very Hollywood, yeah.
Very
But the
Hollywood.
reality is this stuff applies to way more than just, tech meltdowns and things like that. Think about it this way. Anytime something disrupts how things normally work, that's when having a plan really matters.
Okay, so we're talking about more than just my laptop crashing while I'm, writing the next great American novel.
Exactly. It's the
Yeah.
same principle, right? Just scaled up. And this document, it throws around terms like business continuity planning or
Yeah.
BCP.
We'll be hearing that one a lot.
Yeah, you will.
Acronym alert.
Think of BCP as that overarching strategy, that big picture plan for how whatever it is that you're doing, how it keeps going, no matter what.
Okay, so BCP is the strategy. Then is disaster recovery planning, DRP, is that the action plan for when things actually, hit the fan?
Yeah, spot on. So BCP is that safety net, right? DRP is how you use it to kind of climb back up if you fall. And a key part of building that safety net is figuring out what matters most.
Right.
And the document calls this a business impact analysis, or BIA.
So, in non-jargon terms, what are my crown jewels? What absolutely cannot be allowed to fail?
Precisely. And once you've identified those really critical pieces, then you determine just how much downtime each one can handle before things get really, really bad.
That's what is that MTD?
That's your MTD, yeah, your maximum tolerable downtime.
So, for my local coffee shop, a day without their espresso machine, that's a crisis, I'm telling you.
Right.
Their MTD on that is probably measured in hours, not days.
For sure. Now let's imagine that worst case scenario happens, right?
Yeah.
The espresso machine goes down. This is where we get into some of those really, important recovery metrics like RPO, RTO,
What else are
W
acronyms? You're gonna have to throw me a lifeline here. What are those?
So think of them as your recovery timeline.
Okay.
RPO, or recovery point objective, that's all about acceptable data loss, right? If their system crashed, how much data from the past day, week, hour can they afford to lose? That's their RPO.
Okay.
Then you've got RPO, your recovery time objective, which is how long can they afford to be down? How long does it take to get back up and running?
So RPO is like how far back, rewind. RTO is how fast can you hit play again?
Perfect. That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And then there's WRT, work recovery time. And that one's often overlooked because it's not just about turning the systems back on. It's about making sure everything's actually working correctly.
Right.
That espresso machine, yeah, it might be on, but is it making lattes to spec?
Rushing that WRT just leads to more problems down the line.
Exactly, it
So,
does.
there's that one diagram in the document, the one with the four measurements, and it kind of brings it all to life.
It's a great visualization, it really is. It shows how all of these elements are connected and have to work together
Yeah.
to make sure that you have a really smooth and successful recovery. So you've got your RPO, which is your acceptable data loss, and you got your RTO, which is that time that it takes to get the systems back up and running.
Right.
And then finally, that WRT, which is the time it takes to actually make sure that the system is fully functional and working properly again.
And this isn't just for tech companies, is it? This document, it emphasizes people, training, even lessons learned. It's about way more than just servers, right?
Yeah, I mean, even the most sophisticated systems in the world, they're useless without people who know how to use them.
So having a stack of manuals doesn't mean you're prepared for a crisis.
Not at all. Not at all. And this document, it really highlights just how important training is, communication is, and constantly learning from past experiences. Remember those lessons learned sessions we talked about? That's where the real growth happens.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's where you analyze what went well, what could have been better, and you use all those insights to strengthen your plan for next time. It's like they say, experience is the best teacher, especially when it comes to something like a disaster.
Yeah, that's true. Makes you realize a little chaos can be a good thing if you learn from it, right?
Absolutely.
And speaking of learning, this document gets incredibly detailed about the actual steps involved in disaster recovery.
Yeah.
It even lays out a specific order for restoring systems. Can you walk us through that?
Absolutely. So picture this. Your system's down. You've activated your DRP, and now now you need to get things back online.
Right.
You might think it's as simple as, you know, flipping a switch or something.
Yeah, hit the on button.
But it's way more like conducting an orchestra, really.
Right.
You need everything to come back online in a very specific order.
Okay.
Or you risk creating even more problems.
So a symphony of recovery rather than like a solo act?
Yeah, exactly. And the document, it actually uses a good example here.
Okay.
It talks about a multi-tiered application, something you might find, you know, in a typical online store.
Okay.
You've got your database, which is kind of like the foundation of the house, right? Then you've got that middle tier, that's where all the processing happens. And then, of course, that front-end website that everyone sees, the customers.
Okay, so you got the behind-the-scenes stuff and then the actual storefront.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Now, in disaster recovery, you actually bring things back online in reverse order.
Interesting.
So you start with that foundation, that critical database, get that up and running first.
Okay.
Then you layer on the middle tier, that processing power. And finally, once those are stable, you bring back the storefront, that website that everyone interacts with.
So you don't want to open the store to customers until the shelves are stocked and the cash registers are working.
Exactly. And this same principle, it applies when you're transitioning back from that backup site.
Okay.
That separate location where your systems were running during the outage. It's called a failback scenario.
Failback? Did it work?
Yes, it does sound a little ominous, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's really just that process of moving everything back to its primary location.
Got it.
And just like system restoration, you want to do it strategically. You start by migrating your least critical systems first.
Okay.
Kind of like, you know, dipping your toes in the pool before you jump all the way in.
A cautious reentry. I like it.
Exactly. It allows you to identify any kind of, you know, lingering issues or instability before bringing your most critical functions back online.
Makes sense. Now, the document also really stresses the importance of documentation.
Oh, yeah.
They even include a sample notification checklist.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of prepping for, like, a hurricane, you know?
Yes, sir.
You want that emergency kit ready to go before the storm hits.
You got to be proactive, absolutely.
Right.
Having those communication channels prepped, knowing exactly who to contact and how, it's absolutely vital in those critical moments.
Right. Yeah.
The last thing you want is to be scrambling for phone numbers or trying to reset passwords in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah, no kidding. And speaking of preparation, this document places a huge emphasis on training and awareness.
Yeah.
From day one onboarding for new hires to regular drills for the disaster recovery team. It seems like practice makes perfect in this world.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't wait for a fire to learn how to use a fire extinguisher, would you?
No, definitely not.
Everyone in the organization, from the CEO to, you know, the newest intern, should at least have a basic understanding of what the disaster recovery plan is.
Okay.
And then for the DR team, the folks on the front lines, those regular drills and simulations, those are crucial. It keeps their skills sharp, ensures everyone knows what their role is, and it helps them stay calm under pressure when a real incident actually happens.
It's almost like a sports team running plays over and over, even when it's not game day.
Exactly. It builds muscle memory. It builds confidence.
Right, right.
And one of the things I find most valuable about this document is its focus on continuous improvement. And that's where those lessons learned sessions that we keep talking about, that's where those really come into play.
Right.
This isn't just about checking a box on a checklist.
Right.
It's about creating this culture of reflection and growth.
So it's about turning those mistakes into valuable lessons.
Exactly.
What kind of questions do they suggest asking in these sessions?
Well, they get surprisingly deep, which I think is great.
Okay.
Like, they encourage teams to examine whether the procedures that were outlined in the plan were they actually followed during the incident.
Oh, interesting.
Because sometimes in the heat of the moment, people might deviate from the script, and that's okay.
Right.
The key is to understand why those deviations happened and whether they were helpful or, you know, maybe cause more problems.
It's about honesty and transparency, even if it's a little uncomfortable.
Exactly. And they even go a little bit deeper. They encourage teams to look at, like, any roadblocks they ran into during that recovery process.
Okay.
Was there a delay because somebody couldn't access a critical system, or did a piece of equipment malfunction?
Right.
And again, it's not about placing blame. It's about spotting those single points of failure.
It's like a debrief after a mission, figure out what went wrong so you can adapt for next time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this document takes it even further.
Okay.
It asks teams to think really big picture, like, were there any warning signs maybe that were missed before the incident even occurred?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could any preventative measures be put in place so that, you know, small situations don't happen again in the future.
So it's not just about reacting to disaster. It's almost trying to, like, prevent it in the first place.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And they're very clear, you know, these lessons learned sessions. It shouldn't just be talk. Like, the team leader should be compiling all of these insights and recommendations into a report that can then be used to actually refine and improve that plan going forward. It's all about evolving.
It's a living document, basically. That makes a lot of sense. It's like, yeah, this document is basically saying disasters happen. Let's make sure we learn from them.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And one of the most, I think, crucial aspects of that whole learning process is really defining those roles and responsibilities, especially when it comes to decision-making during a crisis.
Right, because the last thing you want is people arguing over who's in charge when everything's going crazy.
Exactly. The document recommends very clearly outlining who has the authority to actually declare a disaster and activate the DRP.
Got it.
This isn't about bureaucracy.
Right.
It's about making sure that swift and decisive action is taken when it really, really matters.
It's about leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing who to turn to when things get chaotic.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not just about, you know, internal leadership either.
Okay.
This document also really stresses how important it is to communicate effectively with external stakeholders.
Makes sense.
Customers, suppliers, even the media, right?
Right, because in today's world, news travels fast, especially bad news.
Oh, yeah, like lightning in a bottle.
Right.
So proactively controlling the narrative, making sure that accurate information is getting out there.
Right.
It's essential.
Transparency builds trust.
It does, even when things are tough.
Even when things are tough, it's about being upfront and honest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that honesty, it goes internally too, you know. This document really, really, really stresses how important it is to think about the people who are impacted by the disaster.
Of course.
Both employees and e-customers. It's easy to get caught up in the technical details.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's about people.
It's about people, absolutely.
Keep your employees in the loop throughout that whole recovery process. Let them know what's happening, what steps are being taken, what they can expect. Transparency and empathy, those go a long way.
Right.
Especially in those really, really stressful times.
It's about remembering the human cost of a disaster, not just the financial one.
Couldn't have said it better myself. You know, it's been great unpacking this document with you today.
Yeah.
It really highlights that business continuity and disaster recovery, it's way more than just, you know, IT jargon.
It really is. This deep dive has completely changed my perspective on this stuff, I gotta say.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's not just about backing up your computer. It's about having a plan for when life throws you a curveball.
It is.
Whether that's a natural disaster or, you know, some kind of technical glitch, even just a really bad day, honestly.
Yeah, you gotta be prepared.
Gotta be prepared. Well said. Well, to our listener out there, I guess our challenge to you is, think about your own crown jewels. What are those things that you absolutely can't afford to lose, right? It's a good question to ask.
And then just take a minute and consider, what would you do if something unexpected happened? It doesn't have to be complicated.
No.
Start small, take it one step at a time, and build your own plan for, you know, dealing with whatever storms come your way.
There you go.
That's it for today's deep dive.
See you next time.
Until next time, stay curious and stay prepared.